Today's podcast, we have Bobbi Jo Muehlmann on. She is the brand new president and CEO of Boise Metro Chamber of Commerce, taking over for Bill Connors after a lot of years and a legacy. And it was fun learning a little bit more about her transitioning from government. She was with Butch Otter for a long time, Brad Little, and now into the private sector, leading the Chamber of Commerce. She's smart. She's going to do just fine taking over for the crew there. And looking forward to you listening to this episode and learning a lot more about Bobbi Jo and what she brings to this new role. Thank you so much for coming on a snowy day.
Thank you for having me.
This is great. So Bobbi Jo is the new CEO of the Boise Metro Chamber of Commerce, and we were really excited that you said yes to come on. And I think a lot of people know you really well if they were in politics and kind of that world. Mm-hmm. But now you're in the business world, and it's a great fit, by the way. Mm-hmm. How's it been?
Well, thank you for having me. I was excited to get asked. It's been really fun. I'm a little over 4 months in, or maybe 4 months in, and having a lot of fun. It's a great organization. I got a great team. I have a great board, great members, and so it's been a lot of fun. I've really been enjoying myself.
We're going to go all over on this, but Bill Connors, right? Mm-hmm. So just a great guy. Yeah. Known him for years, and you know, he's just a one of, right?
Right.
He's just a kind of a little bit of a quirky dude that everyone loves, right? Yeah. So you're coming in after his kind of like legacy and storied career. How's that been? Were you worried about that at all? Just because he's just such a fixture there of the chamber, but.
Yeah, no, I haven't been. And, you know, he was a big advocate of mine and has been very supportive. And so, you know, I've always had people tell me when you take on something new, make it your own, be yourself, yeah. Right? And, you know, remember the legacy and don't fix what's not broken. But he is. I mean, he will go down in Boise Chamber history, right? As he was just a really great, really turned that organization around. And, you know, for me, I'm fortunate, right? I'm coming into a healthy organization, which I don't have to worry about a lot of that stuff, right? So we can just build off of it and continue to grow on the great things that he did.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if Bill will hear this, but just a genuine guy, just always. There's some people you meet in life that, like, the first time you talk to them and then the last time you talk to them, every time you see them, it always feels like they're present, that they're really looking at you and talking to you and concerned about you. And Bill was just one of those guys that just always felt that way with him. And you know, he deserves now to take some time off. And I know him and his wife have some great plans. And it's been really cool to watch him transition out too. But welcome to this new role. How many members do you guys have right now?
So we're over 2,000. So the team had the goal for 2023 to hit 2,000, and we hit it. So I think last time I checked, we were at like 2,012 or something like that. So it fluctuates, but our goal is to really stay over that 2,000 mark and keep growing from that.
And luckily, Bobbi Jo, we've had a good relationship with the chamber. We've always supported initiatives and helped and tried to be good team players and members. But for those that might be listening to this that are business owners that aren't members of the chamber or are learning more, talk a little bit about the important work you do, because it's a lot, advocacy and business help and relationships. Talk a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, so the chamber has a lot of different arms to it. So I think one thing that the folks don't know, within the chamber falls our business attraction entity, so Boise Valley Economic Partnership is part of the chamber, and then our tourism marketing arm, Visit Boise, is part of the chamber. So those two things alone are, you know, mean a lot for the community, whereas tourism is one of our biggest drivers of the economy. And then obviously attracting, you know, new business here, expanding business here, is a big part of continuing the growth and success of the area. But at the chamber level, we do a lot of things. You know, we have a lot of community engagement. We have networking, right? We bring people together. We have an advocacy role, right, where our job is to represent the business sector of the Treasure Valley. We do a lot. We have leadership programs that I don't think people know a lot of, which is, you know, we start them in high school programs, and then we have young adults. We have folks that are ingrained in companies. But these leadership programs are a great avenue, too, for that's potential future workforce, right? And so we do a lot of connecting people and advocating. And so it's a lot of different realms that we have at the chamber. And I don't think people fully understand everything we do.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's very effective. And you have a super powerful board too.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah. You always look at the board. It's kind of always the who's who. In fact, I think Odette had her last meeting recently, right?
She did. Yeah.
Tell me, I'm going to ask you about a lot of people today, but tell me about Odette.
So I have the best board. I mean, my board is awesome. That has been probably one of the things that has made this job so fun for me is like getting out there. And I knew a lot of them from my old job, but really getting to know them at a kind of a different level and meeting the folks that I hadn't really engaged with has been awesome. But it's such a great board. Odette is awesome. Like, she is a force to be reckoned with,
isn't
right?
She?
Oh, man. Like, I have really enjoyed her. She's been super supportive of me in this transition. Super bummed she's leaving, right?
I know.
What a loss for Idaho.
It honestly makes me really, really, really sad.
Me too. It does.
And I say that to her, and she's like, oh, you're just saying that because you say that to everyone. And I mean, of all the leaders I've met, one thing about her is she is fearless, right? Yep. She has this compass that's based on what is good for people and patients.
Yeah.
And I think she came up through healthcare, so she's very just driven to help people. And man, if she sees a reason to go after something to make life better for average Idahoans and patients here, she is just all over it. And that's not usual, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are so political
right.
nowadays, especially, that sometimes I'll say, well, that issue is just too hot for me. I'm going to avoid that. Or, you know, someone else can lead the charge on that thing.
Yeah.
Or I'm too busy or whatever. And Odette never said that.
Yeah.
If it was something she wanted to do for people and patients, she would do it and lead. And I'm going to miss her.
Too. I've really appreciated too that, you know, she's not afraid to have hard conversations.
No.
She's not afraid to tackle things head on, very direct. Gets to the point, which I love. She's just great. So she'll stay on the board until she's done. So I'm happy about that.
Oh, but she is.
Yeah.
And I think she's she'll be coming. I think she moved a couple weeks ago officially.
Correct. Yep.
And then she's going to be back every month, and I didn't know she was going to stay on. When does she? How long does she stay on?
I think through June, I believe, is the goal. So,
she's fantastic, and I'm happy for her too with her kids and life, and she's worked her tail off.
Yeah,
I mean, I think she's worked long, long days and lots of sleepless nights to make sure. I mean, healthcare is crazy right now with everything going on, and I think she's and again happy for her, happy for Bill, but a lot of change.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested to tell everyone a little bit about you, to get to know you, because part of why I wanted you on was I don't know you that well.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know you, I've heard your name a zillion times, and I know you were with Butch, and then you were with Brad, and then always government relations kind of stuff, and then this transition over. So tell us a little bit about you.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so I was born and raised in Montana. My family, what city? So I grew up in a town called Ennis, and then when I was in high school,
I know Ennis.
Yeah, I moved to Browning, and I graduated high school from Browning, and now my folks live in Dillon, so which is nice for us because it's a super five-hour drive.
Ennis to go pheasant hunting in North Dakota.
Oh yeah, it was a great place to grow.
Beautiful,
it was very much like a little white picket fence town.
Yeah,
our high school, which was 9 through 12, had 120 kids, and it was like a U shape. And I mean, it was true. It was like Friday Night Lights.
What did your folks do?
So my mom was a beautician and my dad worked on a ranch. And then when we moved back to Browning, it was a family ranch and farm that they took over. So they've always been kind of in that agriculture space.
Cattle.
Yeah.
You did a lot of chores growing up?
Sure did. Yeah, sure did.
It's cold in the mornings, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It teaches you good things though. Born and raised in Montana, and when I was a junior in college, I went to the University of Montana, and I studied political science, and when I was a junior in college, I did an internship in Washington, D.C. for a senator from Montana, and loved it. I just loved it. It was the best thing that probably ever happened to me, because it showed me something I was good at and kind of a path of what I wanted to do after graduating, and so after I graduated college, they had a job for me, and so I moved back out there. And It was during that time where I met my husband out there. He was working for Senator Larry Craig. And the senator I was working for had lost re-election. And so I, at that time, was then working for a congressman from Montana. And my husband and I got engaged, and he got a job back here. And just how it works in politics and life about relationships, the congressman I was working for was really good friends with Governor Butch Otter because they served together. And so he made a call to Governor Otter and said, hey, there's this girl coming out. I think you should talk to her. And so I met with him and Jason Kreisenbeck, who was Governor Otter's chief of staff, and got a job. And I worked for Governor Otter for 7 years as a scheduler and then as deputy chief of staff, and then went over to the Department of Commerce under his administration. Yeah. And then when Governor Little won, went into his personal office to do intergovernmental affairs and kind of business affairs. And here I am now today at the Boise Metro Chamber. So
we're not going to go that fast over Governor Otter. I gotta ask him. So he's become a really good friend.
Wonderful.
He's a wonderful human. Mm-hmm. I mean, every time I see him, it's the big hug and how's he doing? And he just doesn't ever seem to age.
No.
He doesn't ever seem to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Give us, I don't know that he listens to podcasts.
Right.
He probably doesn't.
Probably not.
He probably doesn't even know how to spell podcast. Yeah. But give us a Governor Otter story or memory from, you worked for, it was 09 to 16. I mean, that's 7 years.
I was 7 years in his personal and then 2 years as his commerce.
Wow.
Commerce. So, yeah, and as a scheduler, I mean, I knew everything about him, right? Just a wonderful man. I think I was asked the other day probably my favorite memory of Governor Otter, and it was when I was at Commerce. You know, I don't think people know, so Taiwan and Idaho have a very strong partnership. We have a trade office over there, and there's a lot of trade that happens between the two. And Governor Otter, they did a farewell tour for him in Taiwan because he was that close to businesses and entities over there. And so I got to go with him. And you would have thought John Wayne was there. I mean, it was just to be able to see the response that people felt for him, the emotion for him, right? It was his last year as governor. That man, too, he could sell a French fry to a potato farmer. I mean, that man was just the greatest seller of our state, just so personable.
It's not fake.
No, it's genuine.
And he knows people. Right. Like, you watch him and you go around with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he knows people. He remembers them. He takes, you know, I think a kind of a theme already, and we've just started this, is you think of like Odette, and we talked about Bill, and mm-hmm. now we're Otter. These are some leaders that are generational for me and mentors, because they're just authentic.
Right.
And I think the older I get, I think you want to surround yourself with people that are super authentic and genuine, mm-hmm. and they are what they are, and that's him, right?
Yeah, well, and as a staffer, it was always interesting because he'd never read his memos, right? He'd go speak to a group, and it could be, and you just knew he was never going to read it. And it could be, the topic could be education, and he could get up there and talk about water. People didn't care, though.
No.
He mesmerized them, and they were engaged, and just his genuine of how he was with people. I mean, it's just truly, he's a truly unbelievable man.
Oh, he is. He's one of one too. That guy is mm-hmm. unbelievable. Do you see him much anymore?
I do. Yeah, I actually do see him quite a lot. Yeah.
Well, tell him hi for me. I saw him. I saw him recently at Charlene's. Farewell retirement party. He was there.
Yeah, he's on the billboards. He's the face of Blue Cross. I don't know if you've seen the billboards or the.
I haven't.
There's commercials. Yeah, of him out on his ranch. Yeah, it's wonderful.
What about Miss Lori?
She's great.
She is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and her and I still get together quite often and catch up, and they make a good team. They were really good to me, too. You know, it was, I had both my sons when I was working for him, and they were very supportive and provided a lot of flexibility for me so I could manage things.
Did you ever think of naming one of your kids Butch?
No, I probably should have, though. That's a missed opportunity, right? Such a great name.
Well, but it's CL, right? So you could have gone with
Clement or Leroy.
I mean, if you're choosing between Butch, Clement, and Leroy.
Leroy, yeah.
Yeah. What, I have your names. Were you Wyatt?
Wyatt and Wayne.
Wyatt and Wayne. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You did well there, Bobby Joe.
Thanks.
I think even Butch would have.
He'd approve.
He'd approve. He did great. Well, that they're a great team. So then with Governor Little, you know, the interesting thing for me is, you know, I became actually better friends with him when I ran against him than.
Yeah.
He's cut out of the same cloth, right? Genuine.
Right.
Idaho through and through. And I think he's doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was just telling you when you got here today that last night I went to a basketball game with Zach.
Yeah.
And he's like, think how far we've come in since 2017. We're like going to a basketball game together. So what a great guy he is.
Yeah, he is.
So that's Governor's Chief of Staff.
It is, yeah.
And you work closely with him too,
right? I did, yeah. He was wonderful, yeah. I wouldn't tell him to his face, but I really miss working with him.
How come everyone says that about Zach?
I don't know. Because he's Zach. I don't know.
The poor guy. Here he is. He's like the nicest, hardest working, like most wonderful guy. But everyone says the same thing. It's, don't tell him that I like him that much.
Right.
That's what Courtney says all the time. It's like, I called Courtney on the way to the game last night. And I said, hey, I'm going to go to the game with Zach. And he's like, I said, I'll tell him hi. He's like, don't tell him hi. Just give him shit. You know Courtney, though.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, he's wonderful. Great. Well, what are some things that the business community think about? Like, we got a legislative session. I mean, if you think about your role in government,
right?
Probably kind of a different set of issues you were dealing with, but it was legislative, it was issues and whatever. How different has that been now, looking at it from kind of a business perspective? Mm.
It's actually been, it's fascinating being on the other side of it. It really is. It's a lot different, right? But it I think I have a unique perspective, right? And so, you know, that was one of the things that kind of sold me on this job was the ability to do advocacy for businesses, right? Because I think one of the things that makes Idaho really unique and special is our business leaders, how willing they are to step up, right? You are a perfect example of that, right? You're not afraid to step up and work on tough issues, and you guys have so much going on that it doesn't matter, though. You're still willing to take the time and do it. And so I think that's what I'm really excited about, is getting to be kind of help advocate and get those businesses, you know, to engage and really talk about some of the things that we have to talk about in the area. And so it's pretty exciting to see. But, yeah, being on the other side of it is it's pretty fascinating.
I do. You just said something. I think about our community, and I think about the leaders that are on your board, and just kind of your membership, right? I say this all the time because I truly believe it in my heart of heart. I think America was built on the backs of small businesses.
Right.
I mean, it is. If you look at our tax base, if you look at who employs everyone, I mean, there are big employers for sure that are important, especially in our state, the biggies, right? You know who they are. But then it's small businesses that really drive our economy and employ people. And so for them, having a place for advocacy and training and all the other things you do is probably, it's probably a pretty special role that you get to play. But it's also probably here, because so many people are so involved, probably nice to be able to say, hey, we need you to do this, or what do you think about that? And you've got people raising their hand to say, let's go.
And that's been a great thing, in particular with my board and folks on the board of advisors level, is they're saying, we want to help. You know, let us know what you need. Like, do not hesitate to call upon. And I just think that's so cool.
Do you think that happens everywhere?
No, it doesn't. There's no way it does. The accessibility and the willingness is just something that I think is unique, because we're small, we're nimble, right? We're more community-driven, we're more relationship-driven. I don't know. I think it's really unique to our state.
I think it is, too. And you ask around, hey, how is it in other larger jurisdictions? And, you know, I don't think they have that same thing. I think it's part of our culture, too. I don't know because, you know, this is our home, but the heritage here, it's kind of like, hey, you help each other.
Right.
You're there to lift and help and serve other people. It seems like it's part of our ethos, and it seems to be part of everything.
Yeah.
Because you could, I mean, whatever the issue is today, if your board said, hey, we need to go to help, you would have people lining up to help you.
100%.
What are some of the challenges we have coming up?
You know, so I think it's no surprise. I mean, we're a metro, right? We're a growing area. And with that, with growth is great, but it also, you know, comes challenges, right? I mean, we have housing issues. We have transportation issues, right? I think, and these are efforts I, you know, commend you, because you are willing to step forward and really take the lead.
They're hard, though.
They are hard. And trying to get people to agree.
You know what actually makes me mad?
What?
I there's some knuckleheads out there, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're in the middle of trying to help with homelessness stuff.
Yeah.
And you read some comments and articles and stuff that people do is I commend Mayor McLean for what she's doing, for what she's trying to do and trying to get ahead of it. And I know, hey, we don't want to become like Portland. Okay, then what are we doing to not become like Portland? And I look at the chamber and how aligned you guys have been to say, hey, we want to learn from others' mistakes. Right. But there's a lot of efforts going on that. There's a lot of stuff going on in transportation and infrastructure and things that matter to our community. But how do you... This is a question I was thinking about for you today, because I think this is kind of, you have this great state of ADA.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've heard that from the political side, right? So you've got legislators that are in town now.
Right.
By the way, I think we got a tattoo like on their foreheads or like put a plaque in all their, like.
So people first, can tell who they are?
First do no harm.
Oh.
It's like a medical thing, but like, I just wish when they came here, like, you don't have to pass like another 300 or 400 bills, right?
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
But they're they look at sometimes as Boise 100%. As, hey, we're not doing that.
Right.
We're not, you know, that's where Mayor McLean is. That's where. And how do you now navigate that from the business side, yet create policies that work for Idaho but work for here?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it is just, it's first of all, it's building those relationships and those partnerships, right? Continuing to facilitate relationships. But I also think a big part of it is too, is that when you look at the Boise Metro Chamber, I mean, these are your employers of the state of Idaho, right?
And
I don't think that resonates, right? And they have footprints all over the state, right?
Yeah. That is huge.
And so I think for me, it's how do I get that message out there? How do I make sure folks really know what the Boise Metro Chamber is and what it isn't, right? And, you know.
So to hit on that a little more, I mean, you got Blue Cross, St. Luke's, St. Al's.
Simplot,
Micron, Idaho Power.
ESI, goes on and on and on, right? And again, most of these entities, they have footprints all through Idaho. And
that's
another thing is it's, you know, I think everyone in the Idaho legislature would agree that they want opportunities here in Idaho. And in order to do that, you have to have jobs, right? And so these are the folks that are going to provide the future jobs that can keep your kids here, right? That give them those opportunities.
Hey, can you look up, Maddie, what's our median income now in Idaho? Household income?
It's probably 70.
I think
70?
It's gone up, right?
In 2022, or
3? Yeah, look at the median income in Idaho. It's gone up a lot.
Yeah, I think it's like probably 70 maybe.
But so there's 56,368, and that was in 2023, but that's statewide, right?
Yeah.
So can you look it up for the Valley? Wasn't it on that slide we looked at earlier? I think it was higher than that for like dual income in Treasure Valley. But my point is, you still have, I don't think people realize that even though, well, let me step back. So I used to be on the United Way board.
Tim.
Great people on the board, and this was back in 2006, 7, 8, around there before the last recession. Mm-hmm. And we used to always talk about the median income in even the Treasure Valley. And we talked about the working poor, asset limited, income constrained, but employed, the Alice population.
Yeah.
And we used to talk about how do we drive jobs? How do we get, we need more companies here. We need to get people that pay more. We need that. That's what's going to really help that gap in the people that are just working paycheck to paycheck. So all of a sudden that's happened.
Right.
Like, if you look at what's happened to median income here, is it on that, Matthew?
Yeah, looks like in Boise, 2022 was 75K.
Yeah.
75,000, yep.
Yeah.
In Boise. So 58 for the state, 75 for Boise. So if that's your household income.
Right.
Probably up from where it used to be.
Right.
But look at housing now.
I know, it's tough, yeah.
You know, we used to be able to recruit physicians to our group at St. Luke's, our ER group. And they would come to town, and you would say lifestyle.
Yeah.
You would say river. You'd say arts. You would say, and then you would say, you can come here and buy a house for this. And you can't say that anymore.
Yeah.
Now you're saying, hey, I know you're moving from wherever, and I know you're going to spend a lot more on your house. So it's a thing. And any thoughts on those issues from the chamber perspective?
Well, I mean, I think it's a real retention and recruitment issue, right? When, you know, people can't get a house and, you know, it's the American dream, right? Everyone wants to have a house. And I think it's a supply issue, right? We don't have enough houses in general, but you don't have enough houses for, you know, that family that's just starting out that, you know, I know when my husband and I moved back here, we bought a house for $150,000 and it was right by BSU. Well, does that even exist anymore?
No, not like, even
it
close.
Probably doesn't, right? And we still kick ourselves that we sold it, right? And we're like, God, think how much we could have made on that thing. So I think it is something that, and I think it's something that everyone's aware of, right? I mean, it's, you can't talk to anyone that's like, great, housing's great here, right? And so I think awareness is the first start, but then, you know, I think it's the housing starts, it's the supply, and I think, you know, interest rates and all of those things play into it. And so it is kind of fascinating, though, to look in this area and to see how far we still have to go, right? Oh, yeah. And there's efforts happening, right? And so it's, what's interesting to me is it's, you know, you talk about, okay, we have education thing issues or, you know, training, things like that. You could put money towards programs or things to help push those forward. With housing, I don't know what the answer is.
I think it is a supply thing. I think it's supply and it's lots of different, like one of the things, you need diversity in housing too, mm-hmm. right? So you do need apartments and you need probably different apartments for different
right.
demographics. And then you need housing. You need starter homes. You need, and I think we need to be really smart about our codes and right. how we do things. I think that zoning rewrite in Boise was brilliant. In fact, during the last election when everyone was hammering Mayor McLean for, and I'm like, that's the most conservative, business-friendly thing that mm-hmm. ever happened in Boise.
Right.
And she's being attacked for it. It's just kind of weird, but anyway.
Well, and I do think it does go back to like permitting and time
yes.
and that sort of stuff. And so I think, you know, I think really looking at those avenues of how we can streamline the process for people.
I agree.
It's going to help.
And unfortunately, we've talked about this a little bit on this podcast, but I think one of the concerns I have as jurisdictions have grown, like our local, we have great cities and we
yeah.
have great mayors, we have great. But if you look at the number of staff, in the, like for example, mm-hmm. if you pulled up the staff in the city of Meridian in their planning department
yeah.
and said, how many new employees are there over the last 3 years? It's almost everybody.
Yeah.
And then if you say, where did they come from? They're coming from California.
Yeah.
And we've seen as a developer, like Meridian being like the most friendly place under Tammy. And it was kind of like these
yeah.
people that have been there forever to like, oh, wow, you got people that are now Californians coming here and now saying, and the irony is they left California because they don't like California. And now they're here
right.
saying, you can't do that. You can't
yeah.
do this. You can't do this. So I worry a little bit that as we change, we got to, and we're not saying that, I mean, your point is just streamline. You're still doing the same approvals, but how do you get subdivisions
yeah.
out quicker? And how do you not put more restrictions on types of housing anyway?
Yeah, I agree.
That's a big thing. And I think it will continue to be an issue. What about transportation? We're pretty passionate about mm-hmm. public transportation here.
Yeah.
I think we have a really unique time when Elaine Clegg was on the city council forever. And
yeah.
now she, by some miracle, I swear she never ages, but she's going to go, like, this is her last final thing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And she's going to go try to help us with public transportation.
Yeah.
But we're the only state in the United States of America that has no state funding for public transportation.
Huh.
VRT goes around every year with a hat in hand and says,
yeah.
okay, Boise, how much you want to give me, Meridian? And that's how they're funded.
Mm-hmm.
And we are almost out of right of way.
Yep.
And there's more cars than ever. To me, we've got to have some joint big think solution on
yeah.
public transportation. Is that on your radar?
Yeah, that's actually, I think the infrastructure is something I'm pretty passionate about. You know, I can't tell you how many chamber members I talk to and it, you know, they all bring up challenges. It's housing and moving people.
Hmm.
You know, how do we get people from Caldwell to Boise, right? And so I think you have to look at those existing resources, right? You have to look at busing, right? How do we make it better? How do we make it so more people use it? How can we pay for it? How do we continue to build out our infrastructure, right? You know, so maybe we can add a HOV lane or those sort of things, which I know aren't always popular, but the reality is that this area has hit the point where we we can't ignore it.
Yeah.
We can't ignore it, right? We have to talk about it, and we have to come up with some solutions. And so, again, it goes back to how fortunate we are to have business leaders willing to take on those efforts, right, to really try to move the needle.
Well, and just try to help, right?
Right.
Because I think uniquely, and I think you'll see this from your new role, is I always remind people that, like, mayors kind of come and go, city councils kind of come and go,
right.
Other government officials kind of come and go, but business leaders are around for the long
yep.
haul, and most of them are in place for a decade or two.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're able to get behind really good policy
right.
and help push it along and, mm-hmm. and be helpful for the people, I think it's a really good way to do big projects.
Well, and I think too, you're going to naturally see, right, a lot of housing is going to continue to move further and further out, right? So that's going to continue to put added pressure
yeah.
on retention and workforce and employer needs, right? And so it's a challenge that's not going away. So we need to really have some thoughtful conversations of what we can do and come together collectively and agree. I think that yeah. is the key.
And I think the chamber is going to play a giant role in that leadership.
Yes, for sure.
Talk to me about Micron a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really interesting. So, you know, in my old job with Governor Little, I was pretty ingrained in that project. And so, you know, I think that expansion is going to transform this. I mean, you talk about growth, about change.
My opinion is people have
no idea
what's happening.
I mean, just the build out of the facility alone.
$15
billion. And you think about the opportunity for supply chain. I mean, I truly think that this project is going to be life-changing for the Valley and for the state as well.
I've quoted the statistic before, and I'm pretty sure I'm right, but the total value of building permits went through the city of Boise in 10 years was like $10 billion. I'm pretty close.
Yeah.
And this is $15
billion. Yeah, it's big.
And then you see their construction time schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what freaked me out, like it freaked me out when I saw the graph, and on the graph it had the total number of employees working out there every day on site.
Uh-huh.
And then it had color-coded of how many electricians and how many plumbers and how many HVAC and how many
mm-hmm.
on there. And I'm like, holy crap, we're in trouble.
Yeah,
that's why Neil Nilsen says he runs a bus company. I mean, he
right?
literally, he's on our Idaho 2040 board yeah. where we're coming together to try to help figure this out. But he's like, I'm going to become a bus company.
Yeah.
That's frightening.
It is, well, and where are they all going
to
live?
I mean, I'm not trying to scare people,
stay?
But like,
yeah.
like,
it's a reality. It's
and it's not like, hey, in 10 years.
Right. It's now.
It's under construction.
And it's fascinating. I don't
oh
know
my
if
gosh.
You've seen it.
It's, I have.
It's
you see it from
amazing.
The air. You see it from the air, and it's like,
yeah.
what on
Huge.
Earth?
Huge. Yeah. But it is, I mean, what a great opportunity.
It's a great opportunity.
You know, those are, and for it to be an existing Idaho business
oh.
growing like that, I just think it's so cool.
And it wasn't a given either. If you
no, it
if
was
you hear
not.
The story.
I was part of it. It
if
was,
you hear the story, it was down to like two or three places,
yeah.
and they ended up, was it Syracuse, New York?
Yeah, New York got the mega. Yeah.
We got the mega, and we got the other one, but
mm-hmm.
it was not a given. And
sure
if that,
wasn't.
If that would have happened, we would have lost Micron.
Yeah, it would have definitely changed their footprint in the
yes.
state of Idaho for sure.
Well, maybe you have some connections there because we want to get someone on from Micron, but they kind of don't come on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Challenge accepted.
They're big.
Yeah, challenge accepted.
They're big. yeah, it would be fun to hear more about it. But, you know, it's funny because we have lots of relationships with people around the country that do real estate. And sometimes we complain and moan about, oh, this, that, and the other. And they're like, you guys knock it off.
Yeah.
You're like the envy of every other jurisdiction yeah. around the world because you're dealing with how do we grow smart? How do we figure out its infrastructure? How do we figure out how to, you know, house and create
yeah.
opportunities for our kids and for them to come back?
Right.
There's a lot of places that don't have that option.
Mm-mm.
They
don't.
They have people leaving. They have funding issues. They're in debt up
yeah.
to their eyeballs. And we have a state that's in the black doing cat tax cuts.
Yep.
Low regulation, business friendly. Sure, we've got to be smart through this right. infrastructure thing, but I like our chances.
Yeah, it's. I think, you know, and that's one of the things I really enjoyed with working with Governor Little is, you know, really looking forward, right, and making good strategic investments in transportation, education, water, you know, those things that are going to pay dividends for years and years and years.
I'm so glad he beat me. Oh, man. I was talking about it the other day. I said, you're doing a great job, and man, I'm so much more happy right now.
Yeah, you'd probably have a few more gray hairs, I'd imagine. If being a governor during COVID. That,
oh my gosh, he got hammered. Woo. He couldn't yeah. do. Like you talk about, like, no matter what I say, I'm going to get filleted.
Oh, every you couldn't day win. Life.
You couldn't. You still can't win.
No, but yeah, you.
It's still like the most yeah. polarizing thing that I've ever. I don't know if you want to talk about this, but what's crazy legislation you're worried about this session? And it's always like. Because this way I view the world, and maybe that you got your business, right?
Right.
Which just running a business and keeping it on the track and growing and managing it is just it's what we love. But then all of a sudden you have these sessions that come, and frankly, they're worried about librarians and crap that I'm like, can you once come here and like spend time and study how you can help us with infrastructure, how you can improve some things and policies that would be good for families and not some of this stuff. So what are some of the things you're worried about, or what should we, I mean, we're at the start of the session. It started last week.
Yeah. So I think, you know, from our perspective, you know, we really watch things that, you know, I think at the chamber, you know, our view is we want to stay out of business's way. Right. So we don't like policies that get in the way, right, and dictate, mandate, those sort of things. And so, you know, I think for us, we have a policy committee that has about 10 folks on it that the board approves every year. And so we meet every Wednesday. I missed it today to be here. But we have a lawyer who really analyzes and loves it and follows the bills.
Who's
and
your
so,
lawyer?
Tom Mortel with
Holy
Trout. He just loves it.
We talking about Tom Mortel.
Loves it. When I first got the job, he came up to me. He's like, "Are you going to kick me off the policy committee? Because I really love looking at those bills." And I was like, "Tom, you're in."
Listen, we didn't plan anything for this today, right?
No,
we didn't.
No.
He's one of my favorite dudes.
He's a cool
on
dude.
The planet.
Yeah, he's really great.
The
he's
planet,
a great chamber
the planet,
supporter.
Planet Earth. Yeah. Chamber supporter, but like. You talk about a smart guy who is, he's one of the best of the best. Yeah. So he helps you on that?
He does. He's the chair of our policy committee. Oh. And so we've got a great group of folks. You know, one thing that is important to me is making sure that we're being good partners too, right? So other entities that are, you know, focusing on efforts to protect businesses, right? Making sure we're in communication with them too. So, you know, every year comes with the challenges, and we'll see what those are here probably sooner than later. But we're watching and we're prepared, right, to take action where we need to. But, you know, when it's an election year, too, that really kind of dictates a lot of things. Yeah. And so.
Well, hopefully. Yeah. I was talking to Zach about this last night. Yeah. Hopefully most of them are up for election.
They so all are, yep.
Might be a shorter session.
Typically, they are.
They go because they need a campaign and do no harm. That's like the first thing. Hey, how to kind of wrap up here? How can businesses one join, or two if they're members? What can we do to help you and your mission and vision for the chamber going forward?
Well, we're always taking new members, so if anyone's interested in joining, I would love to connect with them. But I think for me, it's all about partnerships and communication. So never hesitate. Like if there's something we should be doing, or there's something you think we should be taking part of. Reach out to me, call me, right? Those open lines of communication it's how we get things done. It's how we make good things happen. And so that's really important to me. So I think good communication, and thank you for your support too of the chamber, right? I think the best way to grow your membership is to make sure you're keeping your existing members happy. And I think when folks look and they see, you know, companies like you all on there, that goes a really long ways. And so thank you for that support.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
We're in really, really good hands.
Thanks.
And look forward to helping you and supporting what your efforts are in the coming time. Good luck with Wyatt and Wayne.
Thank you.
Nicknamed Butch, maybe someday.
Maybe.
Make sure you tell him hi. This has been awesome.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Have you back on, and thank you so much for
Thanks. Thanks. Appreciate it.